Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Andrew, appreciate the time. How you been?
Of course, Zach. I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So I know you had Tennessee last week. Just what was the vibe around them in what was an awkward week because they're coming off that blow-off loss to Philadelphia, then they get rid of their GM in surprising fashion in John Robinson?
Yeah, I don't think anybody really saw that one coming. At least we didn't. That was a big surprise. And, you know, I think it caught the team off guard. Now, I wouldn't consider it a distraction for their game and their performance against Jacksonville this past Sunday. I mean, they had to probably answer a few more questions during the week than they normally would have. I just think this is a Tennessee team that's really banged up right now. And based on their injury report that came out this afternoon, it's not getting any better. They're going to be without key players again for this game against the Chargers. And, you know, this is uncharted territory for Mike Vrabel and the Titans. It's the first time since Vrabel's first year that they've lost three games in a row. They're the underdog here against the Chargers. And they only have a two-game lead in the division. I mean, I think things still look good for them. But this Jacksonville team has a lot of confidence based on what we saw last week. And, you know, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that the Titans are going to win the AFC South. They got some work to do here down the stretch.
On the other side with the Chargers, I thought it was their best performance of the season against the Dolphins last week on Sunday Night Football. But whenever you want to start to buy into the Chargers, they usually have a letdown. This is a team that I just don't know what Charger team you're going to get up against Tennessee on Sunday.
No, it's a fair point. And look, I just met with Brandon Staley, the head coach, about an hour ago. And, you know, in the sense in that building right now is that this is my words, but they kind of weathered the storm for the first couple months of the year. Some really key injuries, Joey Bosa, J.C. Jackson, their left tackle, Rashawn Slater, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen in and out of the lineup. Now they're finally whole. Not with Bosa, not with Slater, not with Jackson, but those Williams and Allen back. This is almost like a different Chargers team that they have, that they've played with for the first couple months of the year. Also, part of that time, Justin Herbert was nursing that rib injury from week two against the Chiefs. They kind of feel like this is their time now, and I think that performance against Miami last Sunday night illustrates what they're capable of. To your point, Zach, you want to see the Chargers do it week in, week out. But I did get a really good vibe from them from being in their building about an hour ago.
And the other thing is, too, I kind of like how the players last week, and we all know Justin Herbert is a great quarterback, but he was taking a little bit of a beating in the media because it looked like they were trending into maybe missing the postseason once again. And Drew Tranquil was on this show. He said they were aware of the Emmanuel Acho comments that Justin Herbert is a social media quarterback. I thought that win, it was big for many reasons, but it was kind of nice for Herbert to show, yeah, guys, like all I've done is played well in this league so far, so stop criticizing me.
Yeah, you know, I thought Staley made a great point to us. He said, we knew that Justin was special, but what he's done this year to Staley is more impressive than what he did his first 2 years because of the parts around him with all these injuries and guys in and out of the lineup. And that's why I don't think the criticism on Herbert was fair. By the way, playing with that rib injury for a month.
Yeah.
But also, I do think that there was some extra emotion that we saw. Maybe it was just because it was a big game in December. Maybe it was because Tua was on the other side of the field. But you saw him with that first down sign late after the third down run in the fourth quarter. You could tell that it meant a lot to him this game. And I think the Chargers can feed off that emotion because he doesn't show it that often. When he does show it, it seems to fire them up.
I also wonder, Andrew Catalan, how they're going to navigate, and there have been rumors there all throughout the year about Sean Payton maybe coaching that team next year. I wonder how they'll handle that now since we are in the final month of the season and we don't know if they're going to make the playoffs yet.
Yeah, look, the last four games of last season, they went 1-3. We know what happened week 18 against the Raiders. That's going to keep coming up until they change the script. Now, you look at their schedule down the stretch. Tennessee is the only team that has a winning record the rest of the way. Then they're at Indianapolis. They play the Rams on New Year's Day and then at Denver to close out the season. They have the second easiest remaining strength of schedule in the NFL. Only the Chiefs will play an easier schedule. So it's all there for the Chargers. They got four games left. They don't have a lot of gangbusters. They got a banged up Tennessee team. Let's go see them go out and prove it. And I think they're capable of doing that.
And this is the game, because if they win this game, and I know you still got three more games to play and Chargers fans will be sitting on pins and needles. And don't get me wrong, the Jets have had a good season this year. The Patriots, I think it's been a good coaching job by Belichick, other than on the from the offensive coordinating standpoint, with the lack of talent that they have. But if the Chargers win this game, I don't see how they're going to find a way to mess this one up with those three opponents down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, look, the schedule is in their favor. They're getting healthier. I mean, Bosa's not coming back for this game, but maybe next week or the week after. They might get Slater, their left tackle, back. Williams and Allen, as I said before, are back. I mean, this is the best I think they've felt about their team probably since week one. So it's time now for them to get the job done down the stretch, something we know they've struggled with in the past.
Would you agree Eagles and 49ers in the NFC are the only two teams that you feel good about being in the Super Bowl this year?
I'd say so. I mean, I thought San Francisco last night, watching that game, they really impressed me on a short week. I know Seattle is, you know, a fringe playoff team, but San Francisco is going to be tough to stop, even without Garoppolo back there. I mean, I think that their run defense and what McCaffrey brings is really impressive. And what more can you say about the Eagles? I mean, looks like you're going to have to go to Philly to knock them off this year. Jalen Hurts is arguably the MVP. To me, it's those two teams in the NFC. You want to tell me Dallas gets hot and they could be scary? I might buy that, but right now I just put Philly and San Fran in there.
When you get to Dolphins and Bills, that comes your way tomorrow night. This is a pivotal moment for the Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa, Andrew Catalan, has not looked good the last two games. I know there's going to be, like a foot and a half of snow. You know that area better than anybody. I got a tough time seeing Miami going up to Buffalo in the snow and winning that game.
Yeah, and Zach, it's a tough spot for them based on their week, and I know nobody wants to hear excuses, but as you know, and we talked about, they played last Sunday night in Los Angeles, flew home, got back to Miami at 7 a.m. Monday, and now a short week up to Buffalo to play a Bills team that thrives in that weather, that doesn't want to lose to the Dolphins, that is going to have a healthy Matt Milano, it appears. There's a lot stacked against Miami. Now, can they go out? I saw them Halloween weekend against Detroit. I think that Miami, when their offense is firing, is one of the most dangerous offenses in the NFL. But we haven't seen that the last couple of weeks. And now if you throw in a foot of snow, you know, I got to see it to believe it on Saturday night against Buffalo.
Zach Wilson going to be reinserted back into the starting lineup. Mike White not going to be cleared to play. Lions and Jets, big game, just like how we all drew it up before the start of the season. What do you think Zach Wilson's going to show on Sunday?
I think it's actually a good spot for him to come back. But I'll say this. I think Detroit's legit. I mean, I watched their entire game against Jacksonville a couple of weeks ago, and I know Jacksonville's not the 85 Bears, but they just tore Jacksonville apart. I mean, Jacksonville was not in that game, and then Jacksonville came back last week and won at Tennessee. I think Dan Campbell's done a great job. I think he's going to have him primed to play. I think that's a sneaky, really good game this weekend, and I'm fascinated to see what Wilson does. I mean, I think it could go one of two ways. I mean, I think if he gets hot early, those fans in New York will be riding him and cheering him on, and if it's ugly early, then it could be ugly the whole day. So I think the beginning of that game, the Jets getting off to a good start, is a key in that ball game.
The coach of the year conversation, Andrew, this year is fascinating to me. Like, usually with 4 weeks left in the season, you could have an idea of, okay, I'll tell you at least one of the five guys that are going to win it if you give you five guys. But there's like 10, 11 or 12 maybe candidates this year. It's a wild conversation.
It's so true. I mean, I think everyone for the first 6, 7 weeks thought, oh, there's no way Brian Daboll can't get that. But I wouldn't put him in there right now. And I love Daboll. I think Kyle Shanahan with those injuries, I mean, you've got to put him in that conversation. I really do. I mean, McDaniel in Miami is going to – I mean, you said it. There's like 10 guys. You can go down and make a case for so many different
Sirianni,
guys.
O'Connell, the two coaches that we were just talking about, Campbell and Saleh, there's so many guys that and we'll see who eventually going to have to get into the playoffs or not to win the award, but there's a few of those guys that are just on fringe playoff teams right now.
No, I totally agree. I think if you had to ask me tonight, I'd say Kyle Shanahan. He lost his first two quarterbacks. I know they traded for McCaffrey, but at the same time, they didn't look like they were going to be able to turn this around, at least in my eyes, in the middle of October. But that could change down the stretch. I mean, if Dan Campbell gets the Lions in the playoffs, how do you not give it to him? It's going to be wild.
Now, I don't think he'll win the award, even if they win the division, just because the record won't be good enough. But Steve Wilks, to get that team in playoff position, I know the division is dreadful, but he's been 4-4 ever since replacing Matt Rhule. You look at that NFC South, do you still go with Tampa? I know they're probably going to lose to the Bengals this weekend, but is it still you're thinking Brady until you see someone else get in?
I guess. I mean, that's a mess down there. I've seen Atlanta a couple times. Now they're turning to Ritter. I mean, Atlanta's not bad. I don't know what Ritter's going to give them. Carolina winning in Seattle. I mean, that was really impressive. I guess you give it to Tampa, but as you said,
you don't feel good
I don't
about
think
it.
I don't feel good about it. I don't feel good about any team coming out of that division, to be honest.
What about Patriots and Raiders this weekend? Even though McDaniels couldn't find a way to beat Jeff Saturday and then lose to Baker Mayfield with 48 hours of preparation time for Baker Mayfield, is this one of those wacky games where McDaniels gets the best of Belichick?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that the Patriots stayed out west after they beat the Cardinals. Maybe that helps them a little bit. New England's right there. I mean, they're in the seventh spot as we speak. And it's a huge game for them. And, you know, Belichick's going to want to show McDaniels a thing or two. It's very hard to figure out the Raiders. I mean, I saw them firsthand when they lost in Jacksonville. Then they come back and they beat the Chargers. I mean, they've been all over the map this year. Kind of hard to figure them out. Josh Jacobs, obviously a huge key. If he gets going, they become tough to stop.
Are you leaning Commanders over Giants? Because I just think the Commanders are a better team right now.
I am. I mean, I think that they are, not by much. I think the Giants are still kind of banged up too, but on the road, I guess I would lean that way. But, you know, Seattle losing kind of diminishes that game, if you will, a little bit. The loser of that Giants-Commanders game is still going to be in position there. So, yeah, that's going to be a good one on Sunday night too. Anytime those two teams get together, it's it takes me back to the Madden and Summerall days.
I don't know where you stand on this one, Andrew Catalan, because I hate ties when it comes to football. We invest so much. I want to win or I want a loss. I don't want to walk away with no one winning or losing. But really, that tie, like you just said, could determine maybe both those teams getting in. Because whoever wins this game, I would be shocked if they don't find a way to make the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's why, you know, that tie actually, you know, when you walk away from it, you're like, yeah, this actually might not be the worst thing. So that's proven huge. Now, if Detroit beats the Jets, you know, they're going to be right there too. So it's not over. But I think that a lot of people thought that Seattle would be in position and the loser of this Giants-Commanders game would be in trouble. But it's not the case.
Last thing I'll ask you, Andrew Catalan, does a great job. NFL on CBS will be on the call for Tennessee going up against the Los Angeles Chargers this weekend on CBS at 4:25. PM Eastern. How have you been handling and how will you continue to handle roughing the passer? Because I feel like each and every week we say that's the worst roughing the passer call of all time, and now you have the added element of maybe it getting reviewed next year.
Yeah, no, certainly that's in our crosshairs now. And you know, Gene Steratore does a good job with us on CBS each and every Sunday. I think he's fantastic, and he doesn't sugarcoat it. I think he's pretty honest in his opinion. You know, I think you got to call it like you see it. I mean, when we're in the booth, we're fans in a way. So if a fan is seeing it one way, we need to address it. And I think that it does sound like there is some momentum to have some serious conversations in the offseason about it, too. So it's something we're keeping a close eye on, and you just hope it doesn't, you know, decide a game one way or the other. That's what nobody wants to see.
Yeah, and I would be in favor of them making it reviewable, but then I go back to when we made pass interference reviewable. It was good to have it in case if it's something egregious, but there seemed like a lot of times it should have got overturned, and then they never did overturn it to kind of protect the officials.
Yeah, it's funny to think about how that would play out, but it sounds like the momentum is there to have it, at least experiment with it, which, you know, the NFL has done a good job with that the last few years, trying out different rules. If it's just 1 year or something, they keep, and maybe this is the next in line for that.
Well, have a great call coming up on Sunday. Always appreciate when you join us. Andrew Catalan from CBS, thank you so much.
You got it, Zach. Have a good weekend.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball.
A fear you can't shake.
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.